Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. Get you updated on Major League Baseball from today. Some Olympic results as well. And we'll preview, or at least I will preview. Not sure Steve will join me in this preview, but I'll preview the Women's Beach Volleyball All-American Final that's coming up tomorrow. Really excited about that. I mean, watch the Misty May and Kerry Walsh Jennings, Misty May trainer Kerry Walsh Jennings match in the semifinal against a very, very tough Chinese team. Went 22-20. Of course, you have to win by two. So it went 22-20 in both first and second sets. And the Americans were actually down 5 or 7 points early on and rallied back not only to win the first set, but then win it in straight sets. They have lost one set in three Olympic matches, or three Olympic tournaments, but one set. That is amazing. And the thought process behind the one set loss, the night before they were going through their warm-ups, and the men's basketball team, the NBA players came out and decided they wanted to learn a little beach volleyball too. So the pundits and beach volleyball are saying maybe they were a little distracted and didn't go through their normal warm-up routine the night before the match that they actually lost a set, their first set in Olympic play. And, of course, tomorrow they'll play the final against Ross and Kessie. Those two, April Ross, Jennifer Kessie, a fairly new team for the U.S., not really picked to be a gold medal opportunity, but they stunned the number one combo from Brazil, who had not lost a set during the entire Olympic tournament themselves. They dropped the first set 15-21. To the Brazilians, and then it just looked like it was going to be a cakewalk. And then from that point on, Ross and Kessie rallied to win the final two sets, 21-19. And then, of course, the next one, the third deciding set goes to 15. They won it 15-12 to make it to the finals against Misty May Trainer and Kerry Walsh Jennings, probably the most recognized Olympic beach volleyball players ever, looking for their third straight Olympics. And this will be just it. There will be no more between Misty May Trainer and Kerry Walsh Jennings. They're done after this one together. Now, Walsh will go on and play in the professional beach volleyball circuit with a new partner and maybe the next Olympics in Brazil as well. But if you were watching that game with the Chinese, it was just a back-and-forth game, and Walsh Jennings just came up and started to block everything. And you may remember, before she was beach volleyball player, she was actually a women's volleyball player, and she was well-known at that time for her blocking. But when you look at the two American teams, should be an entertaining one tomorrow. Kessie says it's not just the other U.S. They're not just the other U.S. team anymore, not after that win. At least they hope they're not anyway. And she said maybe somebody will know who that other U.S. team is after this matchup. And it is going to be a dandy. Again, that's tomorrow. That'll be No doubt recorded for prime time and not available live unless you have the NBC Live app or go online tomorrow from Horse Guards Parade. And it's been an interesting time at Horse Guards Parade. The Kessie Ross matchup with the Brazilians was actually done in a rainstorm. And I believe it was Jennifer Kessie that has been having trouble with her feet because the sand is very, very deep. They've had trouble with the temperature. Obviously, in London, it has not been an official summer games where you've had hot temperatures. And, of course, a cold rain at night playing beach volleyball is not the most ideal situation because, obviously, you're not wearing shoes or socks. And she was having trouble with her feet getting so cold and almost getting numb. So she took a timeout in one of the matches prior to get some medical attention on her feet. And according to the international volleyball beach volleyball rules, you can't take another timeout for that same medical assistance, we'll call it, which I thought was rather unusual. But now she carries...
your whole life's unusual.
It's true. But now she carries a Playmate cooler with warm water, and during timeouts and breaks, she'll stick her feet into the cooler to try and keep them warm. We'll see if she does that tomorrow night. Hopefully the weather will be decent. It's beach volleyball in the rain cannot be fun.
Well, actually, running a jackhammer in the rain...
That can't be fun.
Is not fun.
Yeah, that can't be fun either.
Okay. Right. Playing a sport in the rain, a nuisance.
Is this...
Running a jackhammer for 8 hours a day in the heat, yeah, that's a problem. Okay. A little perspective ought to be lent to this sometimes.
Oh, come on. You take all the fun out of it.
Take fun? I'm sorry. They're playing a sport. For the Olympic gold medal, if it rains, it rains. Well, okay.
Listen, I don't think any of the four would say, you know what, if it rains, we're not going to play. I don't think that would be the case. You're right. You're right on that one. By the way, the Brazilians won, the number one team in the tournament, actually won the bronze medal just a few moments ago over the team from China, so they finished third.
And yes, the number one seed, yeah.
The number one seed, right. Brazil, well-known. No, Brazil, well-known, though, for... only having one name for their athletes.
Well, we only have one name for you.
Yeah, but you can't use that on the radio. The FCC will not allow it.
On Sirius, we could. Oh,
all right, I got my Olympics update. I got everybody ready for beach volleyball. Now it's your turn.
All right, so let's talk sports. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Tomorrow, we're going to have a broadcast extravaganza on the show because tomorrow is Penn State Football Media Day. So you name it, that's what, you know, we're going to get a person at each position tomorrow and then bonus whatever else we get beyond that. And then, of course, Bill O'Brien. So tomorrow, stem to stern, Penn State Football preview tomorrow. Later in the week, looking to get Ray Dittinger on from Philadelphia to talk about the Eagles and Steelers, and also looking to get Coquies Washington and men's soccer coach Bob Warming either on the show late this week or early next week. That's what we have on the plans, on the docket, coming up. So, are you out of vacation days?
Yeah, no, but I will not be taking any for quite some time.
Really?
Is that happiness or disgust in your voice? I can't quite tell.
No, it's just every time I turn around, you haven't been here. So,
listen, it's August now. It's time to get ready for the season.
I say. It's our number. I understand. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I was looking at the Olympic headlines, and the Olympic headlines show you the exact state of what I refer to as the sheep.
The sheep?
In sports. Yeah. Oh, there's... I'm sorry, but reporting sports has now become TMZ.
Oh, okay. All right.
To be honest with
you. I understand what you mean by that.
And it just takes... Where everybody follows the same line, the whole thing. If you deviate from it at all... You know, you're not part of the pack and blah, 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 whatever.
Are you referring to the New York Times Lolo Jones article?
That's one. I mean, that's part of it.
And that article basically, I'll quickly summarize if you're not aware of it, she's more popular for her marketing than she is for her athletic ability.
Right. So... That's one of the headlines. The headlines I looked at today were Kobe in drinking game with Olympic volunteers. No, I'm not joking. These are the headlines.
I missed that one.
Kobe in drinking game with Olympic volunteers. Phelps and girlfriend finally come out together. the Lolo Jones problem. Okay.
They had her crying on the Today program. I mean, they literally had her crying on the Today program asking her about that article. It's like, it's bad enough she just finished fourth and ran as hard as she could. Now you want to beat her up some more?
That's what I mean. I think the whole thing's absurd, all right? I don't like what's happening in sport. We don't talk about sports anymore, or if we do, we don't get down to brass tacks and issues. And if there's something that occurs, people do not sit there and research and get answers. I mean, I watched that interview on Sunday on Outside the Lines, for example, and the host comes out and, what an incredibly, well, that was a terrible interview. It couldn't have been a worse interview. Poorly researched. No questions of substance. I mean, where were the questions of substance?
I watched that Sunday interview. I watched the whole thing, and you had mentioned how you felt it was going to go, and I tried to watch objectively, but the one thing that I did not see in that entire interview was anything other than one side and one direction.
Well, exactly. All right. It's more than that, though. Okay. If you're going to interview her, you must ask her about how she handled the Dan Connor 2005 suspension. That was all her baby. Completely. He was suspended, quote, indefinitely for the three prank phone calls. And everybody waited and waited and waited to see what indefinitely meant. I mean, was she asked about being hired by Mark Emmert? No. Was she asked about, let's see, she wasn't asked about being hired by Emmert, wasn't asked about how she handled the 2005, wasn't asked about the one that was driving to get Thon cut back to 24 hours in terms of giving you a perspective on campus problems, wasn't asked any of those questions. But he did a brilliant interview. That interview was junk. I mean, if he handed that interview, that interview into me in my class, I would have given him a C minus. I said, "What are you doing here? That interview's garbage. They should have been embarrassed to have put that on, but they're not because, again, it fits the narrative."
Well, and the excuse of not showing any other side than one was, "Well, we were unavailable for comment or didn't return our calls." Like, well, okay, but you can't. At least show what their public side is anyway, because I'm sure somebody said it.
But other suggestions were made beyond the people they mentioned on the broadcast. There was another suggestion made about having a local attorney on to give an attorney side as to why student affairs would not allow representation, which, by the way, they now allow representation. See, there is a lot of things that go on in this that nobody seems to know about. I mean, and they look, if you're not going to try, then don't do it. One of the reasons not liked on campus, try to cut Thon back to 24 hours. Why? Because too many Thon kids were cutting class on Monday. I'm sorry, but almost every professor I know of, including this one, and I have Monday classes in the spring, always give the students from Thon off because it's that important.
Well, I always thought that was part of college, that if you didn't show up to class, the professor didn't really care because you already paid your bill.
Yeah, that's your fault. That's
right,
your decision to
exactly.
make. Exactly. But that's what she wanted to do. All right, Dan Connor suspended indefinitely, held everybody. Everybody's waiting. Well, what does that mean? All right, that's when, you know, again, allowed completely to have the decision over how to discipline a football player over an issue like that. Did that ever come out in the interview? No. How well do you know Mark Emmert? He hired you at UConn. Did you have any discussion with him during the course of this? No, never came out. Like, you have to be kidding me. And the host, who I don't even know where he graduated from, says, "That was a great interview."
I don't think I've ever seen him before either.
No.
Well, you know what? That was probably written, in his defense, it was probably written on the prompter, so he had to read it that way.
Yeah, who knows? But that's where we're going. But that's for a different topic, different day.
It was a Ron Burgundy moment. It was on the teleprompter, so he read it.
Right. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Want to jump in and join us here in the program? Tomorrow, though, Penn State football, Bill O'Brien, excerpts from the press conference, try to get a player from each position on the football team give you their perspective on the upcoming season. How, you know, what they expect to do in camp, making adjustments to the new offense, adjustments to the new defense. Because obviously, systematically, there are a lot of things that have changed, and terminology has changed. And that's the other part, too, is terminology is so different. So we're going to talk about all of that coming up tomorrow. And so a lot of Penn State football talk tomorrow. And a little bit later today, we'll hear from Walt Moody, John Stroh. We'll hear from Walt at 3:35, then we'll hear from John Kerry Stroh. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565, and the Lenape Solar Hotline. You can always go to lenapesolar.com. Buzz would, if he could. Hi, Buzz.
How are you? I happen to work there, but not today. Why, listen, I'm not a big follower of Penn State, although I enjoy watching them on TV and stuff, and all this hoopla that's been going on, and I kind of, this team that this new fella has put together, I was somewhat disappointed but not surprised by some of the kids that left, but wouldn't you think in general that the people that stayed are people that you'd rather play with? They're more concerned about the team and the school. These guys that checked out and left, you know, they were a little more selfish, a little self-centered. They worried about their own careers. And really, how many people go on to play pro ball from college? Penn State, three or four a year?
Not many. Not many right. Go on to play pro ball. And I think that you're right. I mean, those who stay have a real commitment to the university, a real commitment to the team.
Yep. That's our team. I would be thrilled to see them have a good season. I really would.
I think I go back to what I've said repeatedly during this transfer process, and I go back to that scene in Hoosiers where Gene Hackman is playing the head coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
He tells his team, look, a minimum five passes before we take a shot.
Yep.
He
yep.
gets the kid into the game. The kid starts just jacking up shots yep. left and right. He doesn't yep. like it, takes him out, puts another kid in. He only had six players at the time.
Yeah.
One of the kids fouls out. Official comes over, he says, hey, coach, fouled out, you need to replace him. He goes, my team's on the court.
He said,
you only have four. He says, that's my team. Well, for you
that's
fans,
correct.
These guys right here, that's
yep.
your team. Your team's on the field.
And I hope they get 100,000+ at every game. I really do. I think it's going to be a great time.
Well, it's an emotional time, and it's also a time where the team and the program needs its fans more than ever. It's great to be yep. on the gravy train when it's rolling and everybody's having fun and tailgating's
yep.
great. They're winning big games, you know, beating the Alabamas, the Notre Dames, the Nebraskas. You know, everybody can get up and go to a game like that.
Yep. Well,
but there's also a point where the fans, you know, if they were to step up now, it would mean volumes.
And I like the idea of putting their names on them. I think that's good because it tells you who stayed. You know, who's a team player? These are the people with the heart. You know, I'm anxious to see how it goes this year, Steve.
Buzz, great point. I know it's one of the points I made yesterday, and I appreciate the fact that you feel the same way.
Take care.
Buzz, bye-bye. Thank you. 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Time to take a break. You into that part? You want to take a break?
I'm fine with that.
I knew you would be because you seem exhausted. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Back on the Steve Jones Show, awaiting your phone calls on the Lenape Solar Hotline, toll free at 800-795-9565. You can email stevejones@wkok.com. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook. Lots of comments over the last several weeks on Facebook, too. Just go to the Steve Jones Show on Facebook.
Kevin,
very
her
agreeable.
Account.
You're very agreeable today.
Oh, absolutely. Who wouldn't be?
Major League Baseball update. You ready?
Yeah, all sure.
Right. Texas.
Phillies are what, 1.8 million out?
They have not yet been mathematically eliminated from next year's playoffs, so that's good news. Texas leads Boston 8-5, top of the sixth. Cincinnati 2-0 over Milwaukee, bottom five, and just getting underway out in the left coast is the Angels and Oakland.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
So our number 1-800-795-9565. And I'd like to jump in. We'd like to hear from you right now. Interesting comments as we've gone through this. And Kevin, of course, really, really into the Olympics.
Frighteningly amount into the Olympics. I don't know what I'm going to do. Finally, everything okay? I said, you were heartbroken.
Really, yeah.
The way the poll on our
amazing.
Kind of on the fence about it. Will look like with her name on the back. Rolls around, it may be different.
Well,
because one of the things you had talked about has happened to me many times. There are games, especially when you have more players.
Let's change up just a bit. Well, first of all, welcome to the show. And for a local paper like the Saturday LA Times, what has it been like really covering a summer essentially unlike any other?
Yeah, it seemed like it's almost like the water torture thing. There's a constant drip every day that there's news coming out. It seems like there's never it was never an off cycle this summer. Everything was there. So luckily, I got somebody who's manic like Guy Cipriano, who's is constantly following everything via internet, via getting out and. Creating his own sources and handling a lot of the football stuff like that, and luckily we've got a news department that's helped us out, and we've tried to help them out. So it almost has to be like a football team, as much as a lot of teamwork in order to be able to keep up with the news cycle going there. And then you can't forget the other stuff that's going on. I know for me, I Coquise Washington has gotten four oral commitments this summer so far. So, just a lot of, juggling and trying to keep enough people in the office to get the paper out every day, but also trying to keep up with, this volume of news that just keeps coming.
How important has it been for you to treat all of this from an information source as a story instead of delving into the commentary part of the story?
You're right. That's the thing. You've got to make it the news. You certainly can't. I know it's been so easy for to interject opinions. Certainly on talk radio, the fellow that precedes you guys on the air on 1450 likes to interject a lot of opinion into what's supposed to be a news story. You've got your time and your place for that. It's called in newspaper business, called a column. You put your picture on it and you tell people your opinion. As far as the straight news, you've got to keep it straight and you've got to report what's there and there's no room for conjecture on that part.
Between the web and the actual sheet of paper itself, have we seen what people thought was a, quote, dying industry gain incredible relevance as the summer has gone along?
I certainly hope so. It's certainly now Twitter has pretty much changed the way that news is being reported. And it's a good thing sometimes. And certainly, there's been a lot of stuff that's been broken there. There's been a lot of stuff that, a lot of comments from, if you don't have access to players and the players are tweeting about certain situations, certainly that gives you an outlet to see how, their thoughts are going. But it's also a bad thing because, you spend your time, a lot of times, chasing your tails because anybody can post something without any repercussions to what's been posted. So you spend a lot of time chasing down things that might not actually be true. So it's kind of a curse and an aid in that sense. But certainly our website and our news, we seem to be getting a lot of hits from all over the country. Everybody's interested in what's going on here. So, and I like to think that they're looking to see responsible journalism instead of maybe a little more hit-and-run journalism.
You usually have a game plan before you go into a season. Has the game plan changed or been tweaked at all because of the current situation and how you plan to try to attack this particular season?
Everything's changed. I mean, even without all of the stuff that's going around, you know, we have a new coach here who's, you know, for the first time since 1966. So, obviously that makes things a little different. There's a lot, Bill O'Brien is going to be a case study all year long. So, there is the aura of what's going on with this program now, how it responds to all of these NCAA sanctions and the swirl that's just going around campus. So, yeah, obviously there's got to be a little bit different game plan according. Unfortunately, it's not just going to be about games every Saturday afternoon. There's going to be a lot of other things involved. Obviously, there's going to be a stadium on game day that is going to be different because of the new regime, you know, the new program regime, plus of what's happened over the summers with the Sandusky scandal. So it's going to make for a very, very interesting fall, that's for sure.
As the sports editor, though, certain things do fall on your plate in the area of responsibility. Give us an idea, Walt, the thought that you put into making sure that other sports that deserve their just due still get their just coverage and are not overwhelmed by this.
I agree, Steve. Obviously, this is a big story. It's going to remain a big story. It's a thing that people want to read. But for folks, there's a lot of folks in Center County. In fact, last week I had a Mountain League football media day that I went to, and in talking with the kids that were there that represented, you know, area teams and other teams, you asked them about the Penn State situation, and they're kind of like, well, we've sort of been following it, but we've really got a lot of our own stuff that we've been worrying about all summer long. You know, and those kids, high school football is big in this area. It's going to stay big in this area, and we can't ignore that it's going on in this area. So, you know, those things are still out there, and you have to give them their just due in the midst of all of this. So, obviously, it's going to call for some long nights and some creative hours and some things like that. But you can't, you know, we've talked a lot about how the Penn State players have been penalized by the NCAA sanctions. You can't allow your other sports to be penalized by this whole situation because, again, they didn't have anything to do with it, and they still want to see their names in the paper. They still want to cut out their things to put in their scrapbooks, and you know, it's our job to provide that for them.
You've covered Lady Lion basketball brilliantly for years. What have you seen in Coquise Washington and her program that has now allowed them, in really a relatively short period of time, to resurrect everything and now get it to a point where many across the country think of them as an elite team?
I just think that, you know, she has this rapport with the players that she's recruiting. I mean, it's to a T almost everyone that you talk to that she's recruited have mentioned that, you know, she is a big reason why they're coming to Penn State. She obviously knows how to emphasize the virtues of Penn State via academics and everything else. And she's able to get some of these players that are elite players, and now that they've reached the Sweet 16 and they're getting a little bit more publicity and more people around the country can see them via the Big Ten Network and otherwise, they're seeing that the type of basketball that Penn State plays is fun. They like to get up and down the court and shoot the ball a lot, and everybody's shooting, and you know, that's the kind of thing that you can sell and you can get a kid excited about. And, you know, now that it seems that she's going to be locked in here for quite a while, that's another selling point for the university. And she's I mean, doing a tremendous job.
And no question, she's done a tremendous job building the team in her own image. Every coach has their own way they have to do things. And she succeeded someone who did a brilliant job for many, many years. But now she has put her own stamp and her own mark on the program. What do you think about the European tour, Walt, in addition to what I just said?
I think, you know, obviously that thing is a great thing because it gives, you know, Nikki Green from Diboll, Texas, who is an art major, gets a chance to go and see architecture in Italy. That's something that she would never see before. So as an educational standpoint, it's great. But you know, like you guys were talking about earlier, 10 extra practices. You've got kids that are on this team that you can tell that they don't take anything very lightly. I think Brian will tell you, you talk to Mackie Lucas, she can't wait to get out there and get on the floor. So all of that extra practice time, getting a chance to compete against some teams. They're supposed to be, you know, you're never sure what you're going to get in those type of things. There's supposed to be a couple of all-star teams and things like that. But it just ramps it up. You get the extra practices before a year that obviously they're a team that's going to be ranked near the top 10, if not in the top 10, to start the season. They're defending Big Ten champions. So any extra time they get, Coquise Washington talked about it yesterday. She's got a chance to experiment with lineups, try a bunch of new things that if it works, great. She may incorporate that into the regular season. If it doesn't work, then they can scrap it. So this tour comes at a really perfect time because there is such a high expectation that this team could, you know, given the right draw, could maybe get to the Final Four this year.
Walt Moody, sports editor, Saturday Daily Times. Walt, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
There has never been a better time to buy a new vehicle at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln.
Why?
Because we had a record month in July. And here's why we sold more of the stylish, most fuel-efficient cars in America.
Selection.
You want them, we got them.
Looking for savings?
How about saving at the pump? Hyundai has the most cars getting over 40 mpg.
Worried about financing?
With rates as low as 0%,
you save big time.
And you want price? Well, hold on to your hat. How about the 2012 Elantra, the North American Car of the Year, marked down to $18,985? Or the red-hot 2012 Sonata, lowered to $19,996? Or maybe the sleek, sporty Veloster, also under 20 grand? And don't forget the full line of Lincolns, with discounts as high as $6,500. And with an additional set of tires with any new vehicle, we're making American luxury affordable at Sunbury Motors Hyundai Lincoln at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
Bottom of the sixth, the Reds lead it at Milwaukee 2-0, lead the Pirates by 3.5 in the Central, and have the second best record in the National League behind Washington. American League, bottom of the first, Oakland and the Angels are scoreless. Angels start the day a half game back of the second wild card spot. Rangers lead the Red Sox 8-5 at Fenway in the bottom half of the sixth inning. Another brilliant outing for Josh Beckett. It's one thing. I mean, Bobby Valentine was saying today or yesterday on WEEI in Boston that he says, you know, I think the Red Sox can drive and make the playoffs. Huh?
Who's driving?
Well, if he's driving, they're not going anywhere. You know, they need to get Ortiz back in the lineup somehow. He's been slow to return. That has not helped. But they're just not getting enough starting pitching to really get it done. The pressure to win in Boston is exponentially higher than it is, for example, in Pittsburgh. There's no pressure to win in Pittsburgh. I mean, the only pressure the Pirates feel to win right now is internal. You go out every day, you're trying to win, trying to get someplace, manager Clint Hurdle. I mean, managing in Pittsburgh is not like managing in Boston or New York or even Los Angeles. It's a totally different deal. I mean, the pressure is exponentially higher. In Pittsburgh, they just kind of go, look at A.J. Burnett. He's a perfect example. In New York, couldn't get it done. Too much pressure, got to him. Goes to Pittsburgh, no pressure. Guy relaxes, settles down, pitches. Been great.
So it's just a totally different ballgame at that level. Our number, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Tomorrow, we will go to Penn State Football Media Day. Bill O'Brien, excerpts from his press conference, plus we'll get a player from each position along the way, and, of course, time permitting, multiple players at a position. We're going to try and get the key ones for you tomorrow.
I want to go back to something.
Give everybody a night.
No, go ahead. Finish that thought. Please.
No.
I wanted to
no,
go
I'm
back.
Fine. Go ahead.
I wanted to go back to something you had talked about early in the program and the way media is being covered now, or the way sports are being covered in the media. You know, your buddy Tim Tebow is on the NFL.com page as under their video side going, Tebow felt good running with first team. And then I look at the Associated Press wire, which we get in the newsroom, and it's a timeline of what Tebow did at his first camp practice with the Jets.
I know.
Never has anything more perfectly been proven than that right there, what you just said.
You have to change it up. You have to show some independence. You have to talk about games and achievers. I mean, if you want to, you know, if you want to do a notes thing where it says Tim Tebow ran with first team today, said he felt comfortable with what was going on. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Jets camp, blah blah blah. I mean, it's a worthy note that he did. Let's go to Bob in Mifflinburg. Hi, Bob. Thank you for waiting. Welcome to the show.
Hi, is this Steve?
Yes, it is, Bob. It's great to be with you.
Hey, likewise. Hey, our Penn State, Great Susquehanna Valley Penn State Club, we're taking a bus down to Virginia for the trip. We got some tickets from the Alumni Association. And anyhow, DJ, one of the co-founders, and I started this 30-some years ago. We talked today. Wouldn't it be, and I'm already going to initiate this, be wonderful with the names on the back of the fans, all right?
Okay.
All right. I have four shirts ready to go to market in Lewisburg tomorrow, white and blue. They have my last name on the back of the shirt. Now, DJ, he's a Penn State alum. He's going to be just 60 years old, because I'm pushing 81. And kind of we're together. It's amazing how my wife used to say how close generation apart DJ and I think. DJ says, wouldn't it be wonderful if 108,000 fans in the stand would have their name on the back of their shirts? We don't know. We talked about it. You know, some want it and some don't. I prefer it. I like the names on myself. Sitting behind the opposing team's bench at the game at Beaver Stadium, it's nice to look at the names, okay? The same way at the high schools have their names on. But I'm going to have my five-letter name on the back of my shirt, and we'll have it for our pig roast in August 26th. But what's your idea of the fans having it on the back of their shirt?
I think it's great because Jack and I can look down in the booth now and say, look, there's Bob, there's Al, there's
right?
Phil, there's Sally,
yeah.
there's Dolores.
Well,
I mean, it's great for us. We'd be able to identify, hey, look, Andersons are sitting over there in section 104. Well, I like it. For us, I mean, we'd be the ones that would see it.
Well, okay. Well, I'm in WC row 42 down the lower, WC upper. Well, it's row 42 right above the break. But, yeah, DJ and I thought we talked about it a couple of hours ago to talk to you and see what you thought about it.
I think it's a great idea, and the reason I think it's a great idea is it shows solidarity with the football team, and that's the biggest part. It shows solidarity with the football team, and I think it makes a statement by the fans. And you, the fans, are the most important part in all this. You're still going, then it still means everything.